Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Do you know what original Christianity really is? Well, we can restore it by getting back to the Old and the New Testament combined as one unit, and that we see how God has worked. And we come back to one of the very key things that most of Christendom totally rejects. And that is this. Number one, the Sabbath that God has created. And he created that for every seventh day down through all time. Christ did not change it. Paul did not change it. So we need to be keeping the Sabbath. And the Sabbath becomes important for us to understand from this point of view. It's a starting point. And God created the seventh day. He blessed it. He sanctified it. He made it holy. Now let's understand something very important here, which is this. What God has blessed, what God has sanctified, what God has made holy, no man can undo that. Because you know what happens when men try and do that? And they've succeeded in telling people that it's okay to do so. They cut themselves off from God. So that's why in restoring original Christianity, we go back to the Word of God, to the Sabbath of God, and then the appointed times of God being the holy days. Now, we have just finished a series of segments of Passover and Unleavened Bread in the Old Testament. And we have seen how that whenever the children of Israel repented and came back to God, they came back and were keeping the Passover and holy days and Sabbaths of God. When they sinned, they rejected those things and went their own way. And God had to send them off into captivity. Question. Were the 10 tribes sent off into captivity? Yes. Were the Jews sent off into captivity in 586 BC and God destroyed the temple? Yes. Did some of them come back after 70 years, and it wasn't very many, just a small contingent compared to those remaining in Babylon? Yes. Did they then rebuild the temple? Yes. Were the Jews faithful periodically from time to time? But when we come down to the time of Jesus, they had so entrenched themselves in Judaism and overlaid that on the laws of God and the temple service at the temple that we have read in John 7 and 8 that Jesus told them that they were of the devil because they were following lies. So what we have to do is strip away all of those false notions. And we come back in restoring original Christianity, in restoring the Word of God, in restoring the truth of the Word of God. We have to do the things of God. His Sabbath, His Passover, His holy days, and His calculated Hebrew calendar. Now we have things right on our website you can download. We provide you with all the material necessary so you can dig yourself out under the heap and the stack of lies that you have accepted thinking they're true. So let's begin right here in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. Now this becomes important because we're going to do a New Testament series of segments that we're going to cover the Passover, and then unleavened bread, and then the resurrection of Christ. and all of these things Christendom out there say, well, we do this through Easter. We do this through Christmas. But God didn't. God does everything His way. Now, let me give you another key to understanding how you get out from underneath all the lies and deceptions. You read and study the Word of God. What you learn, you believe and obey. And here's a key to understanding the Bible. As you obey, you will understand. As you will understand, the scales of deception will fall off your eyes. And you will begin to understand the truth. Now we're going to find that far from doing away with the Passover, Sabbath, and holy days of God, the whole central focus of the four Gospels is the Passover and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Far from doing away with it, it expands it. It magnifies it. It multiplies it. It shows the graciousness, the love, the greatness of God in what He did in sending Jesus Christ. And so as we go through this, you need to set aside all of your hostility, antagonisms against the Sabbath and Passover and holy days of God. Maybe ask yourself, though you were sincere, maybe you have been faithful in Sunday keeping. Maybe you have been faithful in keeping the Lord's Supper and communion and Eucharist. But maybe you are not taught the truth. And you need to consider, how can you worship the God of truth with lies? How can you serve the God of love when you defy keeping His commandments, and we are told that this is the love of God that we keep His commandments? How can you not fall under the curse that's in the Old Testament and New Testament, that if you add to or take away from the Word of God, you're cut off, you're blinded, and under a curse, and say, oh, not me. Really? Now, you may be a very wonderful, nice person, but do you understand the truth of God? And really, when you understand it, are you really as nice and as good as you think you are? Now, let me just give you this one thought. A young rich man came to Jesus and said, good master, what good thing may I do that I may receive eternal life? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? There is none good except one, and that is God. So even Jesus in the flesh, though we're going to see here in a minute, He was God manifested in the flesh. Because He was in the flesh, and because from the flesh no good thing can take place, He had to rely totally on the Holy Spirit of God and the truth of God. So He said, don't call me good. So you need to begin to rethink many of the things that you have assumed, that you have accepted, that you were taught. Now, I know that's hard. But consider how far we have come from original Christianity in 2,000 years. So let's begin. Gospel of John, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the Word is Jesus Christ. Now, this tells us a lot, because this is important to understand. As we saw in the beginning of our series with the Old Testament, that the appointed times of God, including the Sabbath, were built into the creation of the heavens, the earth, the sun, and the moon. built in. And those cycles are there. And this is how God keeps time. This is why there is the calculated Hebrew calendar. Now today, because of the Roman calendar that we have, we have to coordinate the true days of God on the Roman calendar. And when you do that, you will see that it has absolutely nothing to do with the holidays of this world. So Jesus was with God. Now, how many are in the Godhead? Three or two? Now, you think about it. I challenge you to find the word Trinity in the Bible. Won't be there. Number two, nowhere does the Bible define the Holy Spirit as God. Always the power of God. What are we told right here? If the Word of God is true, which it is, and if the Word of God is holy, which it is, what does this tell us? There are two in the Godhead, not three. Not one, not three, but two. God, who became the Father with the begettal of Jesus in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and the one who became Jesus, who is called God, and the Word was God. So Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. And why is that so important? And why do we begin the study of the Passover in the New Testament with that? Because you need to understand who Jesus was so that you can realize how great his sacrifice really was and what God had to do to accomplish that. And furthermore, we are going to see the Passover is the central key to when this event occurred. So let's go on. He was in the beginning with God. Now notice verse 3. This becomes important to understand because too many people are under the misunderstanding that it was God the Father who did the creating in the Old Testament, and it was God the Father who was the God of the Old Testament. But that is not true. It was the one who became Jesus Christ. Now notice this. Verse 3. All things. Now what does all things mean? It means all things. Came into being through him, the Word. And not even one thing that was created came into being without him. This is telling us that the one who became Jesus Christ was God. And that there were two in the Godhead. One who became the Father, one who became the Son. And you read through the whole New Testament and the Old Testament, and all of this is verified. Everything else are nothing but the traditions of men. Now let's go forward. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now let's come down here to verse 10. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Now let's stop and think for just a minute. Take this phrase, understand what it says. He was in the world. That's not the Father. And the world came into being through him. That's not the Father. That's Christ, who is also called the Word. But the world did not know him. Isn't that an interesting thing? The world rejects its creator, does not know the creator. And from the time of Adam and Eve have devised many different religions to try and explain about life and where we are, where we're going, and all of this sort of thing. And they really don't understand that they are so far missing the mark that they are not even close. Yes, there is a God in this world. And the New Testament defines it as Satan the devil, who is also the prince of the power of the air. So you see, this is why it's important in restoring original Christianity that you learn the Bible. You know the Bible. You understand what it says. And this is why church at home, because at home is virtually the only safe place that is left for you to study, for you to pray, for you to seek God in truth and in earnest, because God is not in any of the churches of this world. Now, you need to understand that. That's not to put them down, but that is to examine their fruits. Jesus said many would come in his name saying that he was the Christ and would deceive many. And he says, you know them by their fruits. Do they love God? Do they keep his commandments? Do they preach the truth? Do they have understanding of the word of God? Do they really? Well, that's up to you to prove. Let's go on. Let's come down here to verse 14. And the word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Now, tabernacled is the correct translation because it means he temporarily lived among us. He lived 33 and a half years. And 3.5 of those years were devoted to his ministry, as recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, let me just give you another very important thing to understand. Number one, the Holy Bible in its original order, and if you don't have that, you can go to where we have it right online here where you can order it. The Holy Bible in its original order, because the Bible that you have is not in its original order. It has been mixed up like scrambled eggs. But in the original order, there are 7 divisions of the Bible: the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms. That's the Old Testament, and Jesus verified that in Luke 24. Then we have the Gospels and Acts. That's the 4th division. And isn't it interesting? Because if you get this book, now I'm going to announce this book to you. Now let me tell you, this is a fantastic book you need to read. The Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah. So we're going to jump ahead just a little bit. Wednesday is the 4th day of the week. That's the day that God set the heavens, the sun, and the earth, and the moon in motion for keeping time the way that God keeps it now. Number four, that's the central division of the Bible being the Gospels and Acts. The 5th division of it is the general epistles by James, Peter, John, and Jude. The 6th division are the epistles of Paul, and the 7th division is the book of Revelation. Isn't it interesting? The Passover day on which Jesus was crucified was the 4th day of the week. That which explains the whole reason why he came and why he was the sacrifice? The 4th division of the Bible. All of those patterns fit together. Now, we also have another book that you need in conjunction with what we're doing here and finding out about the Passover in the New Testament. You need this book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. Now, Mel Gibson, who did a great production on the Passion of the Christ, was only about 50% correct. He never really understood it because it was all by the Catholic tradition rather than by the facts of the Scripture. And he didn't even tell his entire audience that went worldwide that Jesus died on the Passover day. So let's come back here to the first chapter, the Gospel of John. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we ourselves beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten with the Father, full of grace and truth. Isn't that something? Now, there are many other things we can add in here. We have a whole series on grace. the grace of God in the Bible, so that you can understand the love of God, the grace of God, the truth of God. And remember this, grace does not set you above the law to get rid of the law. It raises commandment-keeping to a higher level, needing the Spirit of God within so you can love God and keep His commandments, you see. Now, all of these things, if these things sound a little strange to you, it's because you've been so far removed from the truth. Yes, you've had the Bible, you've had the Word of God, and yes, there are many translations out there, but none of them give you the truth like the Holy Bible in its original order. Now later, after Jesus came back from the temptation that he endured 40 days and 40 nights with Satan the devil, John the Baptist saw him after he recovered. Verse 29, John sees Jesus coming to him and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now he identified who Jesus was. He was the Word, he was the Creator, he was made flesh for the purpose of becoming the sacrifice for the sins of all mankind, and he is called the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, why does it not say sins, plural? Because all human sin comes from the original sin of Adam and Eve in rejecting God's direction, deciding for themselves what was right and wrong, good and evil. And that sin has been passed down to all human beings genetically that Paul identifies as the law of sin and death. Now, you see, there's so much in the Bible you need to learn. And we're going to try and help you to learn it. We're going to try and help you to understand it. But what you have to do, you have to begin proving all things. Check it with your Bible. Check it with the truth. Compare it with the traditions of what are taught in your church, if you are a church person. Or compare it with the teachings of the world and see how far apart they really are. Now, what about this as the Lamb of God? In verse 36, he said the same thing. John told some of his disciples, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now, what significance is that? Let's come to Revelation 13. Let's understand something, and we're going to see how important that the Passover day becomes. It doesn't diminish it and do away with it. It expands it and multiplies it and makes it great and awesome and fantastic what God has done to show His love, to show His truth, to show His forgiveness. Now here in verse 8 in Revelation 13, we have a very interesting verse. Here shows the juxtaposition of the Antichrist and the true Christ. The Antichrist, verse 7, was given power to make war against the saints and overcome them, and he was given authority over every tribe, language, and nation. A coming world government. Now, we have other segments we have covered concerning that. Now, notice what's going to happen in the whole world. Is this going to happen to you? Are you going to come to God so He can separate you from all the rest of the world? But notice what is going to happen to this world, because a greater deception than has ever come on the whole world is coming upon the world to worship the beast, who is the Antichrist. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. So here, this ties in the end with the beginning. So this verse is very profound, but what it does, it tells us this. God selected the Passover day on which Jesus was to be crucified from the foundation of the world. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is that important to God or not? Did we not read about the appointed times of God? Did we not read in the book of Leviticus how God commanded the priest to proclaim these days as holy convocations, feasts unto the Lord in their season? Why? So that we would understand the plan of God. Let me just say this. You need the book, Cold Holidays or God's Holy Day Switch. It will explain about the holidays of this world and the truth of the Passover and holy days of God. Now, you need to understand something very important. Unless you understand the truth of God and the truth of the Passover and why Christ died and the time that it was set by God to do so, you do not have salvation. Now, you may have a counterfeit. You may be sincere. You may think you're right. But I challenge you to prove the truth. So this is why Church at Home. This is why Christian Biblical Church of God. We're not concerned with politics. We're not concerned with money. God will provide whatever is necessary. There are those who are faithful who send in their tithes and offerings. But we don't merchandise the brethren, and we are not concerned with numbers because we know God is the one who has to call. Now, the call goes out with the word of God. So the choice remains yours to choose. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Coulter saying until next time, so long, everyone.